Hi, friends.
Hi, friends.
We're back. It's episode 87 of The Brunch and Judge.
My brother was born in 87, and that's all I've got.
Spencer was born in 87.
And my boyfriend.
The boys were born in 87.
The boys were born in 87.
So, not a bad year. Not a bad year. You know, I do find it humorous that, like, for most of my life, up until probably my early 30s, I was really paranoid about dating people, like, even, like, a couple of months younger than me.
Oh, I remember that, because you were like,
I was like, not going to do it.
absolutely
Absolutely not.
Nobody younger
Never.
than me. I
Never,
remember
ever.
that. I
And,
remember
like,
that phase. Yeah.
I remember dating Sam for a while, and he was a year younger than me, and that really messed with me a little bit. And I'm like, no. But then something happened in my mid-30s when I was like, oh, it actually doesn't matter anymore, does it?
No, I remember that phase though, when you were like, I'm never dating anybody younger than me. Oh,
But
you were very much like adamant about it.
yeah.
Meanwhile, here I am at 18 dating a freshman, so.
Claire has always loved Robin the Crater. What can I say? You robbed
Oops.
that cradle.
Apparently 87 is just my year. I
Oh
don't
my God, that's
know.
right. Claire loves her 87 boys. What can I say?
Apparently. This is like the third one, so I don't know. Never
Third time's the
intentionally,
charm.
it was never intentional. It was just like, oh, 87. Here we go again. Cool. All right.
Well, anyway, welcome everyone. We are your hosts. I'm April.
And I'm Claire.
And this week we are going to the movies.
Yeah, we are.
But before we get into that, Claire, what are you judging this week?
I'm judging the fact that the writer's strike is over. Thank
Yay!
God, because I'm tired of watching the same five episodes of The Talk on TV when I come home for lunch.
Okay, then.
I put it on for background noise, because
Fair.
I usually come, lately I've just been coming home when I read on my lunch break. But I'll put it on and I'll be like, this one was just on like 2 days ago. Like, I swear, like, what are y'all doing? Surely to God, you've got more than like 10 episodes you can show. Come on. But anyway, no, I'm really happy for them that they got what they wanted.
Yes.
And they stuck to their guns. And they
Yes.
were just like, we're not doing this until you give us what we want. And that's amazing, because it's one of those things, I don't think you realize how bad things can be for somebody until something like this happens and they finally, like, you know, I'm talking about movies, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. You know, like that kind of movie quote.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they were able.
Yes.
To finally, well, like, advocate for themselves and get somebody in there to be like, no, we are not giving in. There's no compromising this time. We want what we want. And now, you know,
and
I saw,
they are reasonable asks.
Yeah. And I saw, what was it? The guy from Adam Ruins
I was
Everything.
gonna say
Adam
Adam Conover. I
Conover.
follow him on TikTok. I was gonna
Same.
say I saw Adam Conover's thing.
Yes. And he was talking about how, you know, now that these, you know, these writers who write for like Netflix and stuff, like if it's a really popular show, they'll get paid based on like how often people watch it. And I'm just like,
that's how it should be.
That's how it should be. Like,
why
if you're
was it
writing,
ever any other way?
Right. You know,
right.
And like, there are so many good things about this, and I'm super ecstatic for them that they're able, you know, now to go back to work and finally, you know, not have to be working these ridiculously long hours, and for what? For pennies,
For
basically.
pennies.
And that's just amazing. And I'm glad that this is finally like one of those, like, we're going to stick it to the man, and we're going to stick it to the man.
What I love, and Adam talked about it on one of the TikTok videos that I saw, was that, you know, everything that they asked for 5 months ago, they were
Right.
like, we're never going to give you that.
Uh-huh.
And then they had to give them that because they didn't back down. They stood together. The actors joined. And, like, the actors
Yeah.
are still striking. So they're not done. Because
Right.
we still have some issues to work out because AI is a real issue. And
Right.
as excited as I am about AI and the opportunities and things that it can help create in order to push things forward, it should never include things like, well, we scan you as an actor, so we only have to pay you once. We get to use your image forever. That's not acceptable.
No, mm-mm, no.
So, you know, like you
And
have to
that to
put
me
these
is
things
just
into place now. We have to
right.
make the ground rules now. We can't wait till it's ruined things. So.
And I feel like AI has already been like a detrimental thing, like with all those, and you know, like even I got into it, but and then I realized what was going on, and I'm like, nope, fuck that. We're deleting this. We're not doing it. But like where you would like take a picture of yourself, put in a picture of yourself, and they would find photos that were similar to you. And they're using AI, but a lot of it was like them using artist work and they were not getting any kind of compensation for that. And I think this is another one of those where you're taking a tool that can be helpful and good in so many ways, but it's like, why are we using this for evil right out of the gate? I mean, see, I really feel
Yeah.
like it's evil when you
No,
are
I'm with you.
like
But like,
taking money out of people's pockets with this computer generated bullshit, you know, even with the actors and all that. Like, I feel like you said, AI can be good for so many things,
Yes.
but I feel like right out the gate,
It can
people
be
were
a
using it for
tool. Yeah.
bad things.
And so we really do have to figure out how we use it as a tool without it encroaching on
Right.
like people's, you know, copyrights
And
and their, you know,
livelihoods,
livelihoods
and yeah.
and take away the human aspect of creativity. 'Cause I don't want
Right.
that. Like, I mean, no one wants that.
No. No,
Robots
absolutely.
can't truly make art because they don't know what
Right.
that is. They can't. Art is a specifically human experience. So all it can do is take from other artists and put stuff together and make you feel like it's art, but it's
But
not.
it's not,
It
yeah.
can't be. So,
And honestly, all it is stealing. So
yes.
it's just, you know, whatever. That's, I'm just, you know, and you see all this and you're just like, are we really like 2 steps away from turning into iRobot? Like, that's where I'm
But
So, but
yes,
yeah,
so
that's my judge is I'm happy for them. I'm happy
yes.
they're able to get what they want. I hope the actors can do the same.
Yeah,
And
I've
get what
been
they want, and so.
super thrilled with all of the unions that have been striking and getting
Right.
like not extreme asks, like basic asks, like super common sense asks, like we want to be
Right.
able to, you know, afford to live.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We want to be able to be paid for the continual usage of the stuff that we've created. That's all reasonable asks
Yeah.
instead of, you know, some CEO or producer getting money all the time for something that they literally did nothing.
Nothing for,
Not a
yeah.
single thing. They just
And
sit
also,
there.
like, having some type of like insurance or, you know,
So
some kind
I
of
love it.
benefits and that kind of thing. And I'm like, I'm here for it because it's like, you know, now is the time to like do that for you, you know, stick together, let people know that you're not gonna let them walk all over you anymore. It's just, especially like you said, these big CEOs and, you know, who get all the money and for
Yep.
what? Like,
Because
what did you do?
they had money is really all it is. And I'm like, I get
Yes.
it. You get to make money because you put down money. Like, I understand that, but that doesn't mean that you get all of it. Like,
Right. Yeah.
I hate capitalism. Capitalism is fucking stupid. So, like, the people who are making it should also be getting the rewards and the profit because they're the ones that actually created the thing that people
Yeah.
want. So, exhausting.
I know. But
But yes, I love it. I'm very
yay
excited.
for the Writers Guild, and
Yay.
that's
Yay.
amazing. So
Yay.
good for them. I'm excited for them. Hopefully their actors will be able to get what they need and what they want too. So fingers crossed that that gets
Yes.
worked out soon. But
Yes.
anywho. So what are you judging?
So I am judging. I went to a concert last night, which is really bizarre because I don't go to concerts.
I started to say, you're not a concert
Pretty
person.
sure the last concert I went to was Elton John.
I was going to say, it's been a minute, hasn't it?
Yes, because I don't go to concerts for many reasons. One, I tend to not like going to live performances because typically people performing, it's like $100 a ticket or something asinine, and it's not nearly as good as the recorded version because people can't be perfect. Like I have all these things. Also, it's always too loud. Okay, I'm not an old fogey. I have always felt that way. I have sensitive ears,
Not
okay?
pokey.
But like it's one thing to like be able to have the music around you and like really be into it. It's another for your ears to be bleeding as you're
And then
sitting
when
there.
you leave and you're like, "What?
What?
I can't hear you."
Huh? So like not a super concert goer. Glad other people like it. But one of Spencer's favorite bands was playing last night in New Haven, and they had just released a new album. We went to like maybe the second or third show since they released, which wild. I've never been at the forefront of anything, so there's that. So I will tell you the name of the group, and you probably haven't heard of them because no one that I have mentioned them to has. They're called Explosions in the Sky. In fact, one of my friends that I was texting with earlier this week, she's like, "Oh, who are you singing?" I said, "Explosions in the Sky," and then conversation continues on, and then she comes back and says, "I low key had to Google that to make sure you weren't just like talking about fireworks." And I was like, "You're not wrong. You're not wrong." But they are a rock band, but they don't have lyrics. Like there's not a singer. It's just music.
So
And
only instrumentalists. Okay, gotcha.
yes, so it is a band of four people, but when they do their live shows, they have a fifth person to help out because they are all incredibly talented musicians, 'cause they have like a drummer, but then like all the other people are like guitarists, bassists, percussionists, like they're all the things, keyboardists, and I'm like, "Whoa, that's a lot of instruments you know there." But I have never seen anything like this in my life. Claire, they started playing and the music did not stop at all for even a second until they finished an hour and a half later. Like it just kept rolling into like the
It's like another
next thing,
song.
and it
Oh,
was
interesting.
amazing. I mean, they said literally nothing. They came on and said something like, "Thank you for coming." At the beginning, it's like, "We've been to New Haven before. We really like this city." And then they started playing. And then, like, they had the most amazing, like, end. It was like this huge, big whoof. And then the lights go off. And then they just walk off the stage. They're done.
And scene.
And I was like, I, sure. Okay. This is unlike anything I've seen before because they never said another word at all.
Wow.
I mean, Spencer told me that they are part of a they're called like shoegaze because they don't really
Shoe gaze.
shoegaze because they're really like looking down playing. Like they kind of
Okay.
like they don't really look at that. And like they had really cool lighting. It's really cool. Like, and it was like
Was it like a
different
Trans-Siberian
parts.
Orchestra kind of thing?
I mean, like kind of, but like the lighting did like interact with the music. So sometimes it would be like on the drum beat, and then sometimes it would be like with the guitar, and it different. I mean, it was really cool. It really added a lot to it, but like you could never see their faces. I have no idea what they look like because their faces were always dark. It was, again, never seen anything quite like it, but it was so good. I mean, so good. Highly recommend if you ever get a chance to see them. Because it is quite a show, considering that they really never say a word to you at all.
Interesting.
But one of the things that I would really like to specifically judge, so when we get there, it's not, I mean, it's a smaller music hall. Like it has a balcony, it has a main floor, and it has like the, is it loge, the LOGE, like the mezzanine kind of a balcony. So like plenty of people are in there, but it's not like a stadium.
It's not huge, yeah.
And so we were where we were sitting, there's like three seats to the end of the row. And there are two guys sitting next to me. And for a while, there's a seat in between them. But then, as, because like we saw the opening act or whatever, which was also hilarious. So, like, the opening act is playing, which is just a local band to New Haven. And they were super, they were much more talkative. And then
Okay.
the guy was like, "You know, our last gig was not far from here, and it was actually in a dingy basement that could only fit like 35 people. So this is really amazing for us." I'm like, "Oh, that I'm like, that's really cool that you get to play,
Right.
you know, here." He was very appreciative, but like, he said something like, "We're gonna play three more songs or whatever." And so, and then, you know, basically the set's over, and as soon as like they strike the last note of their song, like, he doesn't even say like thank you. He just immediately starts unplugging everything, and they're getting all the stuff off. And I'm like, holy hell!
Oh, wow.
But so, in the between, while they're doing the switchover, I hear the two guys next to me talking about how one of them, his girlfriend, is there, but she wasn't sure that she would be into it. And so the guy was like, "Yeah, I told her she's not really into it. She can just hang out at the bar all evening," and she never came to the seat once. And I'm like, "The fuck are you doing, lady?"
Wow.
Like, get, what are you doing? Like, it was a great show, so I don't know. Whatever, whatever. But no, it was super cool. It's our first time being out on the town of New Haven on a Saturday night, so
Nice.
it was quite packed, because you may or may not know, we had a shit ton of rain this week.
Yes, you did. I heard about that. Yeah.
And I mean, we were fine. Like, there was no flooding here, but like New York. Whoa. Like, whoa. Very glad that we had not planned to go to New York recently,
Right.
because I don't know that they're going to recover. Lord. It's a crazy amount of water that they
Right.
had. But so that's my judge. You should all go try Explosions in the Sky. Really cool. Great music. I was trying to say to Spencer last night that I, although I'd heard their songs before, obviously, because I love Spencer, I had never really experienced so much music in which there's not like a specific melody that you're picking out that has like lyrics or whatever. Like, it's a very different feeling.
Okay.
And very, I mean, it's definitely rock, but it, I don't know, it hits different. I don't know how to describe it. Just go listen to them, guys.
Okay. Go check them out on my Spotify.
You should. It's very, it's really good. I'm a fan. But anyway, that's my judge. I went to a concert. Look at me.
Yay.
I wore, it's okay, I wore earbuds so that I could hear. Oh, the other really annoying thing that happened is, so I went, when you go in, they will ID you to put on like the 21 and
Oh,
over
yeah.
wrist thing so you can get alcohol. And I was like, I don't need that. It's like, I'm not gonna drink. But I went to get a bottle of water. And when I got it, the guy was like, takes the cap off, and he's like, "We have to keep the cap." And I'm like, "Why?"
That's weird.
He's like, we have to." So I'm carrying an open bottle of water. This is stupid. So that irked me, and I'm still annoyed about that. So in the future, I'm going to start carrying bottle caps in my pocket so I can just put one on.
Right. You're like, what is happening?
It's like, I don't, I mean, I'm guessing the concern is, figure it is like some kind of underage drinking or something. I don't know. I'm like, it's a bottle of water.
Oh no. Anyway,
I don't understand.
that is
It's like, if
weird.
I'm gonna worry, if you're worried about underage drinking, I can just buy an alcoholic beverage and hand it to an underage person. It's
Right.
dark. You're not gonna know.
Right.
Stupid.
That is stupid. That is very stupid.
But there you have it.
Well, that's a good judge. I'm glad you had fun.
Yes, me too. Not my normal Saturday
But,
evening activity.
right. Not what you're usually doing, so yeah, get that.
But definitely, definitely a good time. So I'm here for it. Cool. All right. I guess it's time to get into our topic of the week. Guys, we're here to talk about movies.
Yes.
Movies. So I go first this week. And Claire, I have brought to you the most perfect Halloween story that I could find.
Okay.
I bring to you the true story behind The Exorcist.
Oh, the Exorcist.
Oh, The Exorcist.
Oh
Woo.
my gosh. That movie, man.
Okay, so I got all of my information from Vanity Fair, The Washington Post, All That's Interesting, and a few little tidbits from Wikipedia, just like dates and just to make sure some things. All right. Christmas Day, 1973.
Yay.
20 Boston area journalists abandon their families to go to a top secret early showing at 12:30 p.m. So this is like literally Santa came, we opened the presents, and I GTFO'd like
GTFO.
to go see the screening
The
of the
Exorcist.
new movie and the scariest movie ever made, The Exorcist.
Right.
I mean, Merry Christmas, I guess.
I know, and that's so weird to me
I,
that it came out at Christmas,
it really
like.
did. It came out. Because, like, it officially came out the next day, I guess. But
Still, yeah.
just like, I felt like growing up, Christmas Day movies were always like the new James Bond or whatever.
Right.
And I was like, okay. But where did this story come from? So we're going to go back to 1949.
Whoa, okay.
We are in suburban Washington, D.C., and there is a German-American family with a 13-year-old son that is known as, for the sake of the story, Roland Doe.
Like DOE, like they're not giving his real
Like
name. Is that what?
John Doe.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. And that name was given to protect his identity so that you wouldn't know
Okay.
who he is. So we're calling him
Fair.
Roland for the sake of the story.
Gotcha.
Roland was grieving the death of his beloved Aunt Harriet, which, I mean, that's sad. He was quite despondent. They had been very close. His aunt was a bit of a spiritualist who taught him lots of fun things like how to use a Ouija board.
Yay.
That's a good aunt there.
It is.
So it's early January 1949, and Roland is grieving, but he begins to experience some strange things. So he starts to hear scratching sounds coming from the floors and the walls of his room. I mean, it could be mice, but probably not.
Right?
Not
It's
if it's in
like,
this story.
I know, right? You're like, no, yeah.
He would also notice that water would be dripping down the walls and off of pipes. And the family could find no reason for it, no leaks. Like it wasn't condensation, just suddenly water was dripping. And then his mattress would suddenly move. Like it would either, like the bed would like move across the room or the mattress
Nope.
would shake.
Nope, I'm out. So,
Right?
like, either buy me a new bed or we're leaving this house, whatever. But this is no, we're not doing this.
And so, you know. It also happened that when he was around, furniture would move or things would start levitating, and like the family started freaking out, which is fair.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
And so they were seeking help from anyone and everyone they could find, doctors, psychiatrists. They finally talked to their local priest. They were Lutheran, but nothing seemed to help. So their Lutheran minister suggested maybe it's time to ask for some help from the Catholics.
Right, because Catholics fix everything.
Well, you know. And so they end up, well, I mean, you know. Maybe. So they end up reaching out to the local Catholic church, to the priest there named Father E. Albert Hughes, who assessed the situation and eventually asked for the Catholic Church to grant him permission to perform an exorcism because he was like, this is
Right, yeah, he's like, this is
probably not a mental disorder. It's
right, okay.
probably Satan. So his request was granted, and he proceeded to perform an exorcism. He strapped Roland to his mattress and began the recitations of the ancient ritual of exorcism. But somehow, Roland managed to break free and rip out a spring from his mattress, and he used
Ooh.
it to slash the priest across the shoulder, which
Ooh.
brought the whole
Ow.
process to a halt, which fair.
I mean, facts. Yeah.
That was a little bad.
Yeah.
And then
Just a little bad.
a little bad.
A little bad.
So the priest is like, ooh. And then a few days later, Roland started having red scratches just appear on his body.
Ew.
And at one point, some of the scratches formed the word Louis, Louis,
Huh.
which for some reason made Roland's mother believe that they needed to go to St. Louis in order to save their son. I don't know why.
What?
I don't know.
Saint Louis, like,
They had some relatives there, so maybe she was just like, oh, maybe we can go there. I don't know. I don't know. It's what it said, and I was like, sure.
sure.
I mean, I don't think that would be my first thought, but what do I know?
Right, you're just like.
So they go to St. Louis, where they stay with some relatives, and they had a family member who was at that point attending St. Louis University and helped put them in touch with Father Walter H. Halloran and Reverend William Bowden, who agreed to perform an exorcism with the help of some assistants. So it is now March 1949, and they gather at their current residence where the family is staying on Roanoke Drive in St. Louis. And they watch as marks are being scratched into the boy's body. Like, no one's touching him, but he's
Right.
suddenly getting scratches.
Wild.
And then they also witness the mattress violently shaking.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, yeah, this feels like maybe an exorcism needs to happen. And so they spend a lot of time with Roland, and they notice that during the day, he seems to be able to be calm, otherwise normal, no problems. But once night comes, he would settle, go to bed, and he would become violent and start screaming. There'd be wild outbursts. He would enter into a trance-like state and then start making those like guttural sounds that we all associate with being possessed
Right.
because we've all seen that movie.
Right.
And then things would get worse. Objects started flying around on their
Ugh.
own in the boy's presence.
Wild. Oh my gosh.
If they brought out like a sacred object, like a crucifix or a
Sure.
rosary, he would become incredibly violent. At one point, the scratches on his body, it became like an X, like a big X on his body. And the priests believed that the X was a Roman numeral signifying the number 10,
Ten,
saying that
okay.
that's the number of demons inside him, which that
Oh
felt like a
God.
leap to me, by the way. I'm like, it's an X.
Right, that's weird, yeah.
It's not like they
Why is
scratched,
everything?
I have 10 demons inside. It's just an X. Just saying.
I am harboring 10 demons. Yeah, it's like, wait.
I mean, at least be like, I am Legion or whatever, come on.
Yes. Right.
Then a pitchfork shape appeared in the scratches that started on his thigh and went all the way down to his ankle.
Ew.
And so they kept performing exorcisms, many, many exorcisms. Apparently, between 20 and 30 were actually performed on
Holy
Roland.
crap. What? That's so the exorcisms weren't working, is
Well,
what
it's
you're
just,
saying. And
you gotta,
then
well, I mean, obviously there are more than 10. It takes several, you can only get one out at a time. I don't know.
you're like, I don't know all the
I
loops, the
don't,
logistics with exorcisms.
they didn't really give me the playbook here.
Right.
But so at one point, it got so bad that Roland started urinating all over the bed in the midst
Oh,
of the
God.
exorcism while shouting and cursing at the priests. And so the parents freaked out and took him to a hospital in St. Louis in order to get more treatment because they're like,
Right.
well, maybe it's demons, maybe it's not demons. I don't know. Let's see.
Right.
And so he was in the hospital for a few weeks, and while he was still in the hospital, in fact, the Monday after Easter, he was still in the hospital, he started having seizures
Oh, no.
and was yelling that Satan would always be with him. So,
Well, that's comforting.
well, that's what I was gonna say. I mean, there's nothing quite like, having someone have a seizure and then be like, Satan will always be with me. And you're like,
Like, okay, cool.
okay. So
Glad you have a new bestie.
they got
Awesome.
the priests in and they started laying all of their holy relics and crucifixes and medals and rosaries and whatever other paraphernalia they have all over the room and him and the bed and started calling on Saint Michael to expel Satan from the boy's body. So after this one big last exorcism, which took place in a hospital room, Roland finally comes out of this trance that he's kind of been in and says, he's gone. Swear. And so he then says,
Then you're
like,
like, has he been faking this whole time? Has he been
but he
the
says that,
children are squirrely, I'm just
I mean,
saying.
it's true. I'm not sure how he managed to levitate objects though. That
I mean, that's fair.
feels,
Make the bed shake like
right? Or
that.
like furniture fly across the room. I mean, I'm just
Right.
saying, I'm just saying, I'm just saying.
Right.
But he also, Roland did say after he had kind of come out of it that he had this vision of Saint Michael on a battlefield vanquishing Satan. So
Oh, well.
it seemed that that exorcism took and things seemed to go back to normal after that. And he just was okay.
Weird and crazy.
Now, this story appeared nowhere except for one Washington Post article that was published in August of 1949, in which they kind of relay this information. They do not mention the boy's name. They just call him a like 14-year-old boy at that point. And, but they hit the highlights of, it
Right.
was he was in one place and went to St. Louis and there were exorcisms and things were flying across the room and everything seems to
Wow.
be okay now. And you're like, okay.
Cool.
So enter William Peter Blatty, who was very religious and was raised by Jesuits and had a strong Catholic education and held on to a very serious belief in God. And he came across this article and used it as inspiration for his book that he wrote called The Exorcist. And some of the things that I read suggested that he may also have had access to unofficial diaries that were kept by the two priests that did
Okay.
the exorcisms, Halloran and Bowden. When he wrote the book, he originally kept the story kind of similar. He kept the possessed child was a boy that he had named Jamie. But he ended up changing that to, again, help preserve the anonymity of
the actual
of
person.
Roland, you know, to keep people from trying to dig that out. And also because, you know, nothing quite says victimhood like a 12-year-old girl, but whatever. But what was like really interesting is he actually was a comedy writer before he wrote this
What?
book. He had written
Really?
several other books and stories and tended to be more like comedy and fun and lighthearted, but had, I guess he had read that article and it had kind of like stuck in the back of his mind. And he pitched it very randomly to someone and they were like, oh yeah. So he ends up writing it. And it
Wow.
is, of course, now his most famous book. So congratulations on your one-off horror novel. And in fact, after it was released, it was a bestseller for 54 weeks.
Wow, that's impressive.
Right? I have not read this book, and I feel
I
like
haven't
maybe
either.
I
I have not
should.
either. Same. I was just thinking, I was like, maybe I should go like check this out in the
Go read this
libraries.
book, right? It's like I don't, it's like I haven't watched the movie in probably
God.
15, 20 years
I
either, but
know. Same, yeah. It's been a minute since I've watched that movie.
but so because that book was so successful, obviously got turned into a movie.
Or several.
Fair, fair. Because I think one just released, actually, a new one.
Yeah.
Or is about to, either way.
Something like that, yeah.
So they made a movie, and The Exorcist, the movie, was released the day after Christmas in 1973, because nothing says Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday, Jesus, like an exorcism.
Exactly.
Now, when this movie came out, it set records from the get-go. It was hugely successful. It's one of the, actually, I think it's the only horror movie that was nominated for a Best Picture award.
Oh, wow. Wow.
There were a lot of very strong reactions from the audience when,
Yeah.
because nothing like this had ever been out before.
Right.
Some people just like left the theater because it was just too much for them.
They couldn't handle it.
Some people fainted. One man actually got
Good
carried out on a
Lord.
stretcher like 20 minutes into the movie.
Oh my gosh.
Some
You weak,
theaters,
you weaklings, what are
right?
you
He's like,
doing?
apparently it was bad enough that some theaters kept ambulances nearby in case there was problems. Like
That's bizarre.
it was like it's nothing to us now, but like
I guess for the 70s, it was
it
like,
pushed,
shocking.
like it didn't push the limits. It went way beyond the limits and it was like, oh, you think vomiting? Let's masturbate with a crucifix. Let's see how you'd handle that one, okay? You know. So but because of like the pea soup vomiting or whatever, a lot of audience members would get sick,
Sick,
so
they would
they
actually
too
vomit.
would vomit.
Ugh, no, can't handle it.
One of the
Bleh.
stories I read was talking about how one theater in particular had like a plumber on call to just like be there to deal with all the
Oh,
issues of
God.
people vomiting in the bathroom all the time. Like, good
Oh, that sounds
Lord.
terrible.
I know. But what is really fascinating, and I mean, again, it's been so long since I've seen it, I didn't think about it. There's only one single jump scare in that whole movie.
Really?
And it's not even like a super scary thing, it's just
Yeah.
a candle suddenly flaring up.
Oh, and it's just one of those where in the moment you're not
And you're
expecting
like,
it. It's like,
bah!
oh,
And
yeah, like, oh.
so like there's no jump scares. Like it is just
Yeah.
you're just tense the whole time watching it.
It's crazy.
And unlike most horror movies up to that point, you know, Frankenstein, Dracula, you go to the
Yeah.
theater, you watch it, you're scared, but once you leave the theater, it's like, well, Frankenstein's not showing up at your house. I mean,
Right. You're like, this is, these are monsters. It's
yeah.
even like Freddy Krueger, as terrifying as that can be. He's not real.
But
Jason,
this
not real.
was the devil.
I know. This was like, this is a true story.
Yes,
You're
and that's
like,
the thing.
what?
And you're like, oh my
But
God.
this is Satan, and this is like, I
Now,
feel like this
Satan
is
can
like,
follow you home.
yeah, and I feel like this is like right before Satanic Panic, so I feel like this like Could have
Triggered
like,
satanic panic.
yes, like been part of it, you know? People are like, oh my God, you can get possessed by Satan.
You sure
Look at
can.
this. This movie is evidence. You know, it's like based on a true story, you know? Yeah, Satan can follow you home from the movies, guys. So
Well, and it's Satan is already in your home.
I
He's in
know.
your heart.
Right. He's in your computer. It's fine.
But not too long before this movie, Rosemary's Baby came out, and
Right.
like the Catholic Church immediately was like, no, condemn, bad, evil, no. But they were actually totally fine with this movie, with The Exorcist. It
Maybe
kind
because
of,
it was like a church sanctioned
well,
exorcism, you know, like he
it
got they got
was,
permission to do it. I don't know.
well, but it was that it reinforced kind of like their dogma of, you
Oh,
know, their
that too,
belief,
yeah.
and it ended up
Like it wasn't making fun of
causing,
them.
no,
It
it ended
was
up causing a lot of lapsed Catholics to go back to church.
really.
Yes.
Wow.
And I'm like, shit.
Oh, we're just gonna scare the shit out of you
Well,
to make you go back to church.
I mean, that's pretty much what the church does, though.
That's what I'm
I
saying.
mean, just
Yeah.
saying. So that's fair. That's fair.
The same as me going to watch that stupid fucking play that dad made me go watch, that Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames.
Oh,
I'm gonna
God.
scare
Right.
you into becoming a Christian. I'm gonna terrify
Right.
the shit out of you.
Ugh.
You'll get baptized. Because Satan is gonna come into your bedroom and take you out of bed and drag you to hell. Like, that's really
That's
what I gathered.
right.
You know, that's what like 9-year-old Claire was terrified of. So, yeah. This is why I didn't watch scary movies, guys, okay? Until I was like an adult. And even then, I'm still like, I don't know about that.
I still hold on to the fact that only Catholics seem to be able to be possessed. So
Right.
I feel safe. I'm sorry. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, so I'm already possessed. There's no room for anyone else. That's what I remember learning. Thank you. Thanks, bye. Okay, thanks.
It's true.
All
That's fair.
right, so just some final notes on The Exorcist. So turns out that the kid, Roland, after the exorcism, like his family moved back to the East Coast. He grew up, he got married, had a son that he named Michael after the saint who supposedly saved him. He also had a very prominent career at NASA, so he obviously couldn't be too crazy. And his name was actually Ronald Edwin Hunkler. And that name was only revealed after his death in 2020.
Oh, wow. 2020. Wow. So nobody knew who he was until after he passed. Good for him for like keeping that under wraps.
I know, right? Also, fun things. The room in the hospital in St. Louis in which the final exorcism was performed was boarded up and sealed. After that exorcism,
They're like, we don't want to take
they
any
were like,
chances of
nope.
anybody else getting possessed, so we're just gonna, because
Hard
you know,
pass.
Satan can't get past those boards.
He can't. I'm sure they had holy water, let's be real.
They did some kind of like Latin incantation
That's right.
to bind Satan to that room.
You know, put the holy water in the floor wax, wax the floors, you know.
It's fine.
And the hospital itself, the entire facility was torn down in 1978. So
So the
years
room
later.
is no longer exists. Okay, cool.
And the house in the DC area where the family initially lived was abandoned and is now an empty lot.
Okay.
They destroyed the house. And in fact, there's an episode of Criminal Minds where they vaguely talk about it. And in that episode, they claim that the fire department came and burned down the house, that it was a controlled burn. But I don't know if that's true or not
If
because it was
that's
on
like how
Criminal
it really,
Minds.
yeah,
But
how
I'm
that
like,
really went down.
surely they would have looked that up, right? I mean, no reason to include that unless.
Right. Like you're like, that's a pretty specific way
Yeah.
to destroy a house. Yeah, no, I get that.
But the house in St. Louis where they were staying is still there. So you could probably go there and get possessed if you wanted to.
But only if you're Catholic.
Only if you're Catholic. Or I guess potentially if you are not baptized. I guess in theory you could be possessed.
Yeah, that's
Because,
true.
I mean, again, this is, it's been too long since I've been to church, but I'm pretty confident the way it was explained to me is that when we as Baptists were baptized, we were filled with the Holy Spirit. So there is no room for Satan.
I'm gonna call Bush on that, but whatever.
I mean, I also hold on to the once saved, always saved. I'm like, no
I
backsies.
know, right? Ha ha, you got me.
Haha. Like, all right, but I'm not sitting next to Ted Cruz. Got it?
No.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Or Ronald Reagan.
He better not fucking be there. Do you understand? Garbage. Garbage.
Probably there.
Not there. There needs to be like a separate, like, crappy section for like Ted Cruz and Ronald Reagan and,
Right.
you know,
All
those
those
other
people who
gross things.
touted that they were like Christians, and you're like,
And spent their entire lives destroying mankind. Yeah, thanks,
Right,
okay.
right.
Gross. And they have to sing all those stupid hymns that we all hate.
Indeed.
I'll fly away on repeat.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Oh.
Gag. But I never have to sing that song again, it will be soon enough. It won't
You
be soon
actually
enough.
never have to sing it. You never have to sing it again, Claire.
Have to be around it.
Eh, well, I
I have to
can't
go to
help
a
that.
one-off service where they play that, and I'll be like, oh God, PTSD.
Oh, and they had to do the interpretive movement things that we used to
Oh no, no.
do.
No, none of that. Or even Shine, Jesus, Shine. Oh, stab me in the face. Yeah,
Oh,
ew,
God.
no.
The trauma is real. The trauma is real.
Yeah, PTSD from all those songs. I hear them now and I have physical reactions to them. And I'm like, oh God.
But there you have it. There is the true story behind The Exorcist. So it is real.
Nice.
I mean, he didn't vomit up pea soup, but that's, or like turn his head 360 or do the spider
Right.
walk thing. But like the bed shaking and like the things. One of the sources talked about him speaking Latin, even though he didn't know Latin.
I
And I'm
mean,
like,
yeah,
I
like who
mean,
does?
fair, you know,
Who
you gotta.
does?
Nobody knows Latin.
Except for my Latin teacher in high school. She knows.
Which, to me, perhaps we should be recording these exorcisms where they speak Latin so that we can actually learn how to say it, because we don't really know how to pronounce Latin because it's dead.
Right.
But if Satan or his demons are speaking the Latin through someone, then they probably know how to pronounce it. So we
So
should
they're actually
probably.
speaking it correctly.
Yes, so
Yeah.
we should be recording that shit. That's
Probably.
all I'm saying.
Yes.
Well. Well,
Anyways, that was excellent. Thank you very much. I enjoyed that.
you
I'm
are
glad to know
welcome.
stories like that are real.
They're real, Claire. They're real. Have fun
Okay,
sleeping tonight.
so maybe once it's Satan, okay? Just once.
It's. I just. The thing that has always puzzled me is like, if it's you're possessed by a demon, I get it. Cool. Lots of
Right.
demons, they're hanging out. But like, why would Satan focus on random 13-year-old kid? Like,
Right.
I feel
Like, what
like
did this kid do? Like, what? Who is he?
if I were Satan, I would instead want to possess someone that could, like, you know, do large scale chaos.
Damage? Yeah. I hear that.
Saying. I'd
That's
also
fair.
be sneaker about it instead of, you know, making it obvious that I had possessed them.
Right.
Guys, you gotta be secretive. If you're trying to, it just makes no sense to me. Poor planning.
Gotta be more stealthy. Jeez.
Yes.
Well, thank you for that. That was good.
Thank you. All right,
I
Claire, what
appreciate
have
that.
you brought us for movies?
I'm gonna be talking about The Blind Side.
Ooh, look at you being on
Because
topic.
there's drama, and I'm here for some drama.
Boy, isn't there? The whole thing when that came out, I don't know, in the last few weeks, I'm like, the
Yeah.
fuck?
I
It's
know, it's like, say what now?
like, okay. All
Yes.
right, tell us, Claire. Tell us all
All
about it.
right. So I got my sources from biography.com, independent.co.uk, ET Online, and etonline.com, and looper.com. So, anyway, The Blind Side, because you know, I love, 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 love a good,
Sports
like,
movie.
underdog sports
Sports
movie.
movie.
Yes.
I
Not all sports movies, thank you very much. It's mostly underdog stories.
feel like most sports movies are underdog stories.
Yeah, I mean, fair, fair.
Uh-huh.
But not every sports movie is great, okay?
It's
Anyway.
fair.
So this movie came out in 2009, and it was based on a book that was written in 2006 called The Blind Side: Evolution of the Game. It was written by Michael Lewis. And the movie was written and directed by John Lee Hancock. Starred Sandra Bullock and Tim McGraw as Sean
Oh
and
God, it was Tim
it
McGraw. I'd forgotten
was
that.
Tim McGraw. Yeah. They played Sean and Leanne Toohey, and the guy named Quentin Aaron played Michael Orr. And the movie was, you know, it's the story about Michael Orr, and basically it shows like how he homeless, and he was failing all his classes because it portrays him to be kind of like ignorant and almost unintelligent. But then the Toohey family, this is in Memphis, Tennessee, by the way, the Toohey family sees him like walking home, being all homeless, and they're like, come stay with us. And at first, it was just a few nights, but then they wind up inviting him in. And it shows that they help him learn the game of football. They start paying for his school stuff. That's how it started. And it kind of started this way in real life, but part of it was that Sean Toohey went and paid off all, you know, paid for the rest of his school lunches, like the rest of the year. But it mostly showed like how it started was that he had this really good relationship with the Toohey's son, SJ, Sean Jr. Anyway, but in the movie, it says that, you know, they eventually adopt him and they help him get into the Toohey's college, like alma mater, Ole Miss. And he gets in on a full football scholarship. And but there's like a little drama in the movie because it makes it look like, oh, they just adopted this black kid who's really good at sports to funnel him into a sports program that they're boosters for. That's the way the movie makes it look like, you know, and that was the drama at the end was, could he do this? Did he have to, would he have to pick another school? What, like, why did he choose Ole Miss? Like, did they make him choose Ole Miss? You know, that kind of
Right.
thing. So, but anyway, so he winds up going to Ole Miss on a football scholarship. Hooray! I mean, all in all, it's like this really icky kind of feel good movie. I mean, I did enjoy it when it came out. The movie was nominated for Best Picture, and Sandra Bullock actually won Best Actress Oscar for it. So that's the movie.
Right.
Yeah, and as we know, Hollywood likes to fuck stuff up. So
Couldn't help but notice.
I know, right? So, you know, as with most movies, there are lots of liberties that were taken to make for good drama. So, Michael Orr was born in 1986 to a mother who was addicted to crack cocaine. He was the sixth of 12 children
Oh my God.
to his mother. Yeah.
A lot.
His father was basically non-existent. And his mom, Denise, said she struggled with her addiction for several years. And he talked about how, like, if she, I guess it's one of those things where you get clean for a little bit, but then you get sucked back in. But he said when she wasn't using and she was actually working, that, you know, it was good. Like, those when the times were better. But he said the majority of the time that she was using and she wasn't working, and it was one of those. So CPS comes in, and due to her addiction, Orr and his siblings were removed from her care, and it's and when he was in first grade. So he grew up most of his life bouncing around from foster families and friends' couches, and just about anywhere where he could find that was warm and dry to sleep. I mean, and that's not a very good life for a child. And it, you know, due to his lack of stability, that he didn't have the best attendance at school, obviously. He wound up repeating first and second grade. He went to 9 different schools within 11 years. So I'm
Wow.
just like, holy shit. And the most stable home he had was in a housing project called Hurt Village, which they do depict in the movie. And that it's just like this slum where people go to die and there's all this violence. I don't know if that's
Yeah.
true in real life, but that's the way they depict it in the movie. And he lived in Hurt Village for 11 years, from when he was 11 years old until he started high school. When he was 15, he was 6'5 already and weighed 350 pounds.
Damn.
So he's a big guy. And he wound up staying with like a local athletic program director whose name was Tony Henderson. So I'm guessing this is like one of those, it's like a big brothers, big sisters, or one of those, you know, local, you know, they start like local programs to help kids, keep kids off the street, that kind of thing. And at this time, Orr was being recruited by local drug dealers because of his
Is
size,
he
that
so
they,
big?
yeah, and
Yeah.
they wanted to use him as like their
The muscle.
muscle to
Yeah,
like,
get it.
you know, be the muscle for whatever local gang they're part of, these drug dealers are part of. And Tony Henderson, that he was living with at the time, wound up taking his son Stephen to Briarcrest Christian School, which in the movie it was called Wingate. But he was taking him to interview to get into this Christian school, and so Michael Orr went with them. And so I don't know if he like went intentionally like trying to get in like off the bat or whatever, but I mean they did interview him. Said he was like super quiet and he didn't really speak during this interview with the school, and that when they tested him, his reading level was on like an elementary school level and his IQ was only 80. And there really wasn't a reason for them to admit him, but it was the coach of the football team saw him and I guess was like, look how big he is. Maybe we can, you know, like get him to
Like,
play. Yeah.
it's like
And
admit him
so,
so I can use him. Yeah, got it.
yes. And so he went to the principal and made a plea to let Michael Orr in. I mean, because obviously he had, I mean, if he was staying with the athletic director of
Yeah.
this, you know, local program, he probably knew some about sports. So, but so the principal told Michael Orr if he could go to another like private school, Christian school. I guess maybe wasn't let like a little, it didn't say. I'm just assuming this is my own. Like, if you
Okay.
could go over here and get your grades up, we'll let you in. But then it was like the principal backtracked and was like, oh, we might need you for football. I'm sure that's what it was.
I'm
So,
sure.
I mean, he didn't make him like finish a whole year at this other school and get his grades up. So they did let him enroll anyway. And, you know, I'm assuming, like, as it is in the movie, he really struggled with the
Right.
school part of it. But when he went to Briarcrest from the get-go, he played 3 different sports. They
Wow.
don't talk about that in the movie. It's just,
No.
oh, right. He played basketball, he did track and field, and then he played football. And they actually thought that he might go to the, like, try to go pro for basketball. Apparently, he was really good at that too. So he spent his first few years at Briarcrest just sleeping on different families' couches. You know, just bouncing around in other foster families, because I'm sure he had to have a foster, he had to have some kind of, you know.
Legal guardianship, yeah.
Yes. And he didn't meet the Tuies until 2003. And it was, they talked about how they, it was Sean Tuohy who saw him at basketball games, that he was, you know, like kind of off to himself and not, you know, like with everybody else. And he, I guess he asked, so that's how it started. Is he went, he paid to have all of his lunches taken care of for the rest of the year, so he wouldn't have to worry, because it just seemed like he was hungry and that he, you know, he wasn't getting what he needed nutritionally. And it said that they saw him walking home like around Thanksgiving, and that he was wearing shorts, he wasn't properly dressed for the weather, and So that was when they first invited him to come stay like the night with them, and they invited him to Thanksgiving, and then the summer before his senior year was when they asked him to just like live with them. So the movie did change a lot in there, you know, they because they
Right.
make it seem like,
No one cared but the twoies.
well, not only that, it was just like they made him seem like he didn't even know football, that like the twoies
Oh,
were,
yeah,
or
right.
that the twoies thought that he, or the one, the twoies were the ones who taught him to play football,
Right.
you know, and that he didn't know what left tackle was, you know, and all this stuff, and like blocking, and you know, like
Well,
we,
what's
and had like,
frustrating is that, an 80 IQ is, I think, that's technically average. Like, I mean, that's you're not like you wouldn't be eligible for special ed.
right.
So I'm like, he's not stupid. He's not
Stupid.
incapable of knowing things. Things are maybe harder for him than people
Yeah.
who have a higher IQ, but like he can learn stuff.
Right.
So wait, okay.
And so by his senior year, he was a really good football player, and obviously scouts took notice. He was recruited hard, like he was in the movie, but you know, ultimately he did sign with Ole Miss, and that wasn't without a struggle because it was his grades, which,
Right.
you know, and so it talked about how he had to take correspondence courses and get a tutor to get grades up to finally be able to walk and to like actually apply to go to college. So that was, you know,
Yeah, I mean
and
it was hard, but
right.
he could do it. He
Yeah.
was like he was capable of doing it. It just
Right.
required a lot more. That's
Right.
fine.
I
Good for
know.
him.
And so when he was 18 years old was when the Tuies became his legal guardian. And I'll get into all that because that's the drama. Anyway, but I'll get into all that in a minute.
Why do you need a legal guardian at 18?
I'm gonna get into that. Gonna get into it. Anyway, so he had a pretty successful college career at Ole Miss. Every year he was on some kind of like either first American or second All-American team. And his last year he was on the first team All-American his senior year. So I mean, he did really well in college. And he played from 2005 to 2008, and then 2009 he graduated from Ole Miss with a degree in criminal justice.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, and I was like, look at you, like not going into sports medicine or, you know, US history because you want to be a teacher or
Right.
whatever or a coach. And so he went first round in the draft, and he was 23rd overall, but he was chosen by the he's drafted by the Baltimore Ravens in
Yay.
2009. I know, I'm like, yay, Ravens. Anyway, the movie came out shortly after he was drafted. And this is when things kind of started going downhill. Because I mean, I feel like up until this point, he was fine. But after the movie came out, and it seemed to have almost the opposite impact on his life, like it had a negative
Oh, no.
impact on his football career. Because he talked about how the movie portrayed him as stupid or
Yeah.
dumb or unintelligent, and how they, you know, that the Tui's the one who taught him a lot of the football, you know, the game of football. And so he would talk about how his teammates started to look at him
Oh.
differently than they had previously. Like he wasn't smart enough to figure out the playbook or, you know, that kind of thing. And it said that he was irritated with the film's implication that he was unintelligent instead of a kid who never had a consistent academic instruction and ended up thriving once he actually did have it. And I mean, that is absolutely fair. And
Well,
that's
I know,
probably part of the reason he
he
only had an 80
graduated
IQ.
college.
I
Like, I mean,
know.
he did that.
That's probably part of the reason he only had an 80 IQ is
IQ.
because it was just like he was not, he
He
was one of those
didn't,
kids
yeah.
who kind of fell through the cracks academically until this. And so one a quote that he said was, "People look at me and take things away from me because of a movie. They don't really see the skills and the kind of player I am. That's why I get downgraded so much because of something off the field. This stuff, calling me a bust, people saying if I can play or not, that has nothing to do with football. That's why I don't like that movie.
Fair.
And he is actually the guy who portrayed him, Quentin Aaron. He's told him, like, you did a great job. Like, your acting skills were great. He just doesn't like the way that they
It
wrote
they
it.
wrote it.
Yeah. So he has nothing against the actor who portrayed him. It's the way they wrote the story. And I just think that's really shitty that the fact that he was, this talented football player was overshadowed by this partially made up story from Hollywood. Because
Well,
it's
and
just,
I guess this
because
is
people are
just
going to
me
see that
and
and they're going to think that that's gospel because that's how some people are, you
I guess
know.
this is just me and my naivety is that I assumed he had a voice in the making of this movie, but obviously he did not.
Right.
So, wow.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, and overall he did wind up in spite of the movie. Had a fairly successful NFL career. He won a Super Bowl with the Ravens and then he played in another Super Bowl with the Carolina Panthers when they lost to the Broncos and it was what's his face's Peyton Manning's last game. And he had an 8-year NFL football career, which, for those of you who don't know, the average NFL football career is 3.5 years.
Yeah, so
So
very good.
he did better than most, and ended in 2017 when the Panthers released him due to complications from post-concussion syndrome. So
Beat
he,
all of that.
yeah. And that's where that all ends. And you're like, oh, it seems like he had a great life until we found out in August there was some drama. Anyway, so in August of 2023, Orr filed a lawsuit against the Tuies, claiming that the Tuies never adopted him and they manipulated him into signing a conservatorship.
We know that's
Yeah.
bad because Britney.
I know. I'm like, everybody knows because of
Everybody knows
Britney now.
conservatorships are bad. So free Britney,
Yes.
bad.
Yes. And this conservatorship put the Tuies in a position to control any business deals that he had, anything dealing with his finances. And they signed that in 2004.
Wow.
Had him sign it too because he was 18.
And he didn't have any idea what he was signing. Oh
No.
my God.
Because I'm sure whatever legal person they had was also like relaying to him, this is what you're signing. So I really, not like he would have gone out and gotten his own
Well,
lawyer to
and
look this over.
he's assuming that these people who have been very caring are like it's a continuation of care.
Right. Absolutely. Like, why would he think, why would he believe otherwise? This family took him in, they started buying him clothes and acting like they cared for him. And he even says that like what they did for him really went a long way to helping his mental health because he's like, now all of a sudden it's like, I have a bedroom, I have a closet with things that are mine, I have food security and a home security, like, I've got a place to sleep. I don't have to worry about finding somebody who's going to let me come in and sleep on their couch, and that went more to the way, he said he always knew how to play football. Like that was never the question. It was them helping him with his academics and having like the basic needs that all humans should have anyway. So that went more of a long way with him than actual like them helping him even get into college, even I think. It was just you helped him during this time in his life when it was really low. He was, low for him. But yeah. I can imagine that an 18-year-old probably had no idea what they were signing.
I
Because
mean,
like I said, if you have the same lawyers as your, supposedly adoptive parents, does that guy have your best interest at heart kind of thing? Anyway, he believed that what he signed made him a legal member of the Tuohy family, when in reality, it did no such thing. And Orr claims in this lawsuit that he learned in February 2023 that he had zero familial ties to the Tuohy family. And To think that you were legally part of somebody's family for that long, I mean, you're talking
Yeah, that's
20 years,
horrible.
and then suddenly you find out that,
It was all a lie so that
yeah,
they
like
have
to me,
control over your money.
yeah. And so he claims that they used this contract to make the deal for the movie because the book came out in 2006, which was like while he was in college. So I'm sure that's why it talked a lot about his high school stuff. And then, like I said, the movie came out like right after he got drafted by the Ravens. But that they used this contract to make a deal for the movie, and it cut him, so they cut him out of receiving any royalties because the film grossed over $300 million.
He got nothing out of that movie.
That's what he claims.
Wow.
And Orr is seeking an end to this conservatorship and wants to force the Tuohys to disclose all of the money they received from using his name and license. And he also wants to keep them from doing so in the future. And he's, seeking to get the money that he's owed from the movie plus damages.
As
Because,
he
I
should.
mean,
As he
yeah.
should. Because I mean, it's one
And
thing if they did do the conservatorship and they had been putting it all and it's his money, but they're like, we're just making sure that,
like you, we've got an account for you. This we're
that
putting it
there's
away.
money that you can get at certain ages, so that way you don't have to worry about spending too
Right.
much because it's hard for all professional athletes, like 100%.
Right.
But like it sounds to me like they've done nothing. So cool.
Yeah, and so the Tuohys claim that they were advised to set up the conservatorship to avoid backlash from the NAACP, or not the NAACP, the NCAA. My bad. The NCAA, two totally different organizations. Okay.
Very different.
Yeah. And that when Orr signed to play at Ole Miss, it would help, I guess, alleviate more of what the movie showed. Because the movie made it seem like, that was the whole point is like, oh, you're this white family. And you're going to start adopting all these black kids and get them to play sports and you're going to funnel them into your alma
Oh,
mater, is what the
right.
movie was showing. Because Tui was, the Tuis, both of them were alumni and boosters for the school. And I guess their legal counsel claimed that Orr's attendance at Ole Miss would be better received if he was part of the family or made it look like he was part of the family. And they said that you can't adopt. I guess they told the Tuis you can't adopt over the age of 18. So this was the best way to handle it.
That's not true. You can.
Oh, yes, I know, because
That's an outright lie.
my next statement is adoption over 18 is legal in Tennessee, but Sean Toohey claims his lawyer advised against it.
Well, then that's a different statement entirely now, isn't it?
Right. And so, but I think this is what they told Michael at the time was like, we're gonna, they made it sound like we're adopting you, we're your legal guardians. But then later it's like that was never, and they always referred to him as their adoptive son, even though he was not, in fact, part of their family at all legally, other than that they had control of his money.
Wow.
Yeah. And, but Sean also claims that he was willing to end the conservatorship if that's what Orr wants. So it's like, oh, well, I was
Then
always going
just
to
do
end.
it.
It's like, I was always going to end it. And it's like, but he didn't even fucking know that's what it
Yeah.
was.
So then
So,
end it and pay back every fucking penny, every
yeah.
single one. You get none.
Yeah. So the Tuohys, apparently, with the movie coming out, they're what they negotiated in their contract. It covered them and their two children, Collins and SJ. They got a daughter and a son for $225,000 each, plus 2.5% of all future defined net proceeds. So that was in their contract. And then there is another document that Orr signed, which was a contract that Fox had rights to his life story without any compensation.
Wow.
And I'm thinking they could have told him anything. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? I mean, could anybody, And like I said, in addition to ending this conservatorship, Orr wants his share of the profits from the movie along with damages, which, I mean,
I hope
absolutely.
to God he gets it all. I hope he destroys them.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's nice what they did. back then, like the start of it, that was very nice, but then they turned it into something disgusting. They didn't have to. It was very easy to not do that.
And I mean, and like in the movie, these people already had money. It's not like they needed his money. Sean Tui claims all the family, including Orr, received $14,000 each, but that money came from the book, came from the author Michael Lewis, and apparently he took half of his book money and then split it with the Tuis and Orr, and that's what it worked out to per person was 14K each. But I'm just like, I feel like this book was mostly about Michael, so you should have given him more money.
Yeah.
Because if that's really what happened. But anyway, Sean Tui was like, we're devastated. It's upsetting to think we would make money off any of our children.
And yet you did. And also,
And
he's not your
not your
child because
child.
you made sure that he wasn't and then lied to his face. Wow.
Yeah. And so that's the
That's
drama
disgusting.
behind the movie. Yeah. And it's like, you know, and like I said, like in the movie, you know, he was like a fast food entrepreneur person. So, I mean, they had money. They were well off. They
And
didn't need
like,
any more money. And what's her face is now, Leanne is now an inspirational speaker.
oh, fuck her.
And she set up like a charity to like help underprivileged children or something like that. But still, it's like, but what are y'all doing? I mean,
I hope that in the end, you know, that the truth comes out and to show the world how horrible they really are, I guess. Like
right.
if this is the reality, like if all of
Like,
this is
if this is
true,
really true, yeah.
then
All
I
of this
hope
is
that it
alleged. Sorry.
destroys her inspirational garbage career, because I'm like,
Right.
I just can't get over the fact that he believed that he had been adopted
Yes.
and that they told him they couldn't adopt him, even though they could, and they were just advised not to, which what the fuck is that about? Why would you
But I mean, the way he said that they said it to him was like, it's about time we made you part of the family. So what does
Yeah,
that make you
that
think?
makes you think you're part of the family. And not,
Right.
it's about time we decided to make sure we take all of your money if you ever become successful. So
Right. And
gross.
that's like, it is, it's very gross. And, you know, when this story came out about him suing them for all this, you know, there were a lot of people on there that were like, oh, he's just trying to get money out of them. He got his fair share and he blew through it, just like he blew through all the money when he played in the NFL, you know, and that, you know, he tries to blackmail them all the time and giving them money. And I'm just like, what? You know, regardless, it's like, give the man what's his.
Yeah.
You know, because he wrote his own book. About and the first one was very nice towards the Tuies because this was before this all came out. But then right before all this broke, he had another book come out and it doesn't mention them at all. And but he also talks about like even though he wasn't adopted, that he's still a huge advocate for adoption because you're giving because he said, you know, most of the white people I know that have adopted black children are doing it out of love. They're not doing it with these selfish, ulterior motives. They're truly wanting to help, you know, an underprivileged child, give them a better chance at life, you know, and that's also cool too, that he's still, you know, like he doesn't have
Yeah.
any animosity towards adoption just because of the
Well,
shitty
but
situation that
he
he's been
wasn't
in.
adopted, so what animosity could he
Exactly.
have? It's like
But
I
I'm just talking
wasn't.
about he thought he was, you know, these people didn't
Yeah.
like deter him. So I mean, I really hope that if this is how it is, that he gets something from it because
Yeah.
that is terrible. And it's something I didn't even realize too, like when the movie came out, and this is my own privilege speaking. But everybody was like, I can't believe, you know, that movie's so cringy because they've got like a white savior complex. And I'm just like, yeah, it did. I hate that I loved it. You know, because I wouldn't watch it. You know, I've watched it several times. And then I'm just kind of like, God, yeah, they're not wrong though. You know, and like I said, that's my own privilege shocking. But
Well, and now I'm here questioning, how did the guy even find out about the story to write a book about it? Did they, like, do you know?
oh no,
Like,
I don't.
did the Tuies reach out? Like, what the fuck? Because I
Like,
feel
oh,
now
this
like
is
it's
such
all
an
this.
amazing story. We need to have a book deal. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's how he Or if he was from around the Memphis area and had heard, like, I guess with, because I mean, I guess Michael Orr was a big time football player in the Memphis area as far as the school, you know, and he, and him going to Ole Miss, like that might have been part of what, like, oh, you did this, and or because I don't know, this is my own speculation of like what might have happened. I don't know how the guy got a hold of the story to make it into a book, to be made into a movie. But again, Michael Orr has a good point because he's like, none of the stuff you got from this would have happened if it hadn't been for me. You know, and I know some people probably think that he's like an arrogant asshole for saying that, but he's not wrong. Like, none of that would have happened if they hadn't, you know, if he hadn't existed in their lives. So he's not wrong. But anyway, that's like The Blind Side and how that movie has kind of made Michael Orr's life kind of shitty, you know.
I
Like
mean,
it caused him more
wow.
struggle in the NFL than he probably should have gotten, you
I mean,
know,
I guess
and
to me, I'm kind of like, can he? I feel like he deserves damages from the movie, like portraying him in a way that he wasn't. I mean, if nothing else, you know,
And I mean,
also.
and if it really went down that way, you know, it was like shame on the Tuies for like setting him up for all of this, you know, because like I said, I can't imagine an 18-year-old going out and getting their own lawyer to go over adoption papers, quote unquote, you know, or legal guardianship papers, or whatever they told fuck, whatever the fuck they told him it was, you know, or even like with the movie deal, you know, he still was in college, he wouldn't have gone out and gotten his own lawyer to look over this contract. And a lot of
Well,
that
because
legally, and yeah, and a lot of that legally stuff is hard to process. You're just like, I don't know what this means.
you're trusting the people that you think care about you. I
Exactly.
mean, they've helped you out. You don't want, you can't imagine that they don't have your best
Best
interest at heart,
interest.
but
Right. Exactly.
may that be a lesson to all of us.
So that's the story of The Blind Side and the extra drama that's coming along with it these days. So.
That was amazing, Claire. Thank you.
You're welcome. So it's like,
Wow.
don't believe all shit you see in movies when it comes to
Well,
somebody's life. Yeah.
no.
But really don't, because it's like, I didn't realize until, you know, you start reading stuff and you're like, he wasn't that dumb. It was just, you know, he just needed some extra help because he never got the help he needed when he was actually like trying to learn these things to begin with. You know, he had a very big disadvantage in. I mean, good for him for overcoming that, and I really hope he overcomes this if what if this stuff is true. I really hope he is able to get what he needed, you know, deserved to get from this movie.
Wow.
I know, it's crazy.
Well, that means it's time for this week's Sweary Affirmation, and it feels very apropos to that story.
Hit me.
All
Oh, does
right.
it?
It does. This week's Sweary Affirmation. Be your own damn hero.
Ah. Indeed. That's facts.
That's facts.
Yep. Just do it. Don't wait around for some guy to save you.
All right, must be a time for tarot time with April, a spooky spooky. Right, Claire, tell me when to stop. Excuse me. I don't know any football songs other than We Are the Titans, the Mighty Mighty Titans. Ooh, ooh.
I know, right? Stop.
Oh, goodness.
Hopefully,
All
this
right.
week's draw will be better than last week's. Damn. Last week was a doozy.
No kidding. We are starting with the Page of Swords.
Okay.
And then we're going to have the Eight of Pentacles. And ending with the Nine of Swords inverted.
Oh, okay. Well, at least these are all like kind of minor-ish cards, so it's not like
I know, right? Like,
oh, it's the drama.
All right, Page of Swords. There is a huge burst of energy that comes with the Page of Swords. He's chatty and curious, has tons of energy, and has ideas flying all around, but they aren't investigated or given much consideration. There's a lot of initiative, so that's cool. The Page of Swords is sharp as a tack, with razor sharp intellect, sharp wit, and looks sharp. So, lots of
Be
energy and
sharp.
lots of ideas, but maybe not a whole lot of follow through.
Well, I'm gonna need the
That
energy
sounds
this
like my
week since I've got
everyday
a lot of junk to get done before I go on
life.
vacation.
Excuse me. All right. And then the Eight of Pentacles comes up in a lot of readings for people who have just found a new job, started college or a training program, or is honing their craft. I love it when it comes up for artists or those in a healing profession. It's about finally finding your path and working your tail off to succeed at it. When you look at the card, you see the successfully made pentacles hanging on a wall and one on the ground discarded. No, it's not discarded. It's just someone studying on mine. This card is about being discerning about your own work and not giving up until you get it right. So getting lots of ideas, I guess, and energy, and then we're actually gonna hone it.
Right.
So that's fine. I'm not sure what happens next. Oh goody.
Uh-oh, I don't like the sound of
The
that.
Nine of Swords inverted. Depression.
Oh, God. Ugh.
Not sadness, depression. So cool. There is pain and hopelessness. Awesome.
Also, that's how
Yay.
I'm gonna feel before I go on this cruise. Amazing. I hope not.
Well, I mean, maybe it's just because traveling to the cruise will be exhausting and stupid and you'll hate it.
Maybe.
Maybe
Let's
that's all it
fingers
is,
crossed.
because you travel is garbage, as we all know.
100%. Yes, travel is garbage.
So, it's fine. All the energy, we're gonna hone our craft and then we're gonna be depressed.
Depressed.
Ah, well, fuck it. It's fine. It'll be fine.
It'll be
Maybe
fine.
it's just
It's
ex
okay.
it maybe it's so the card itself is like anxiety and stress or whatever. So maybe it's really just the emphasis of that instead of depression and hopelessness. Maybe just
Okay.
lots of anxiety. It's
Right.
just extreme,
Well, if that's the
which
case, then that's fair. Right.
right. What does the Wheel of Fate have in store for us, Claire?
Let's do it. See what we're doing.
It's gonna be. Ooh, museums.
Museums. Okay.
Museums. I guess I should have held on to my occult museum for this one.
You should have.
Oh,
You
well.
played your hand too much.
I did. It's fine. I'm sure there's some other upsetting museums out there.
I'm sure.
Well, there you have it. Our topic next week will be something museum related. Interesting. Interesting. But until
Noted.
then, you can find us in all the things and at all the places at.
Brunch and Judge.
Please follow, like, comment, subscribe, interact, do a dance, all the things. And you can send us some more topics for our wheel or any stories you'd like for us to cover at.
Brunchandjudge@gmail.com.
So until next time, keep on brunching.
And keep on judging.
Bye.
Bye.